You got barbecue back there? And you didn't invite me? Hurt my feelings.
I don't waste breath on an enemy. No room for negative energy.
You know, I always love when guys talk smack after making one play. But
eventually, I don't waste breath on an enemy.
Diggs!
All right, everybody, welcome in to Load the Box. Also, we will now be going by the name of the No Mouth Emoji Podcast. My name is Jeldon Hawthorne. I'm joined, as always, by the marvelous, the wonderful, the epic, the, I almost said ancient, but I don't think you're that old, Jack Day. Jack, my brain's all over the place. How are you doing?
I'm personally doing well. I actually just landed a new job as well, so some exciting news on that end. But however, if you're listening to this, I'm assuming you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, and you were hurting a little bit, just like Jordan and myself were this early on this week. It's always tough to watch, like ESPN. I love watching Good Morning Football, but I just hate seeing the highlights after I watch a game, especially when it was that bad of a game. I know. Doing this, we kind of have to dive back in and look at stats, kind of watch some of the key plays. But it's never easy when you lose to a divisional opponent, especially one led by a backup quarterback, which I think you can make the argument that actually better than the starting quarterback. But not a great week for Vikings fans. Let's hope we can get it turned around here on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. I almost want to say, you know, look, let's cut this off. What about, we're almost at 2 minutes. That's all we need to say about the Bears game. Let's just talk for an hour and a half about the Diggs stuff, slash Danny Dimes and the Giants. But obviously we're gonna delve into to this Bears game a little bit. Like you said, it sucks. It sucks because I feel like we were just on here 2 weeks ago. Saying the same exact stuff, saying the, oh, it sucks to go into and go, you know, go on the road and lose a divisional game. I'm not hitting the panic button as much as I'm hitting the, man, I'm not feeling great about this season right now. And I know that I've seen it brought up a lot, and I'm pretty sure even you said it last week on the show. You know, the last time we started 2-2, we ended up going 13-3, and we made the NFC Championship game, but I think that the circumstances are different, and I think that we've Vikings Twitter and Vikings fans have, I think we've shifted as a whole on Cousins. I think it was a pretty 50-50 split going into the season of people who were like, he just needs help, and, you know, he's not bad. And now everywhere I look on Twitter is just, we need to get rid of Cousins. He is the Antichrist. I hate him. I hate his family. This is terrible. And then they set themselves on fire. Like, it's so, and it's really overdramatic because, you know, it is just a game. I still love Cousins. I can't wait until, you know, 5 or 6 years from now, he's on Monday Night Football, you know, calling the games like Gruden used to. But I don't know. It's, it kind of has me wanting to, like, take a break from football almost because it's just so overdone at this point. Talking about the matchups and, you know, kind of what happened in the game, they had a good drive to start the game. Took them, you know, almost the entire first half of the first quarter. They scored a touchdown, and then the defense held them to 3 field goals the rest of the game, and the offense got 1 touchdown, and then they didn't convert on the 2-point, so they were down 16-6. And then Cousins, the game was over, but one play that really stuck out to me was Cousins on a quick slant on fourth down towards the end of the game, threw it behind Adam Thielen, and that was whenever I was watching the game, and then I was like, okay, I'm going home, like I'm done. I was at my dad's house, and I was like, I'm finished. That's all I need to see. So, Jack, kind of walk me through, you know, watching the game. From an analytics point or an analysis point, kind of what you saw, what you liked, maybe if you have anything at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's tough. We talked a little bit before this, and it's tough to kind of pick stuff out of this game that you actually liked. It was a tough fought. It was the exact game that we said it was going to be. It just didn't end in our favor. We said it's going to be a boring, ugly defensive game, kind of an ugly, old fashioned NFC North showdown. That's exactly what it was. I predicted the Bears to finish with 16 points, but or actually might have been 17, but that's right where I thought they were going to be. I just thought the Vikings were going to put more points on the board, and obviously They struggled. We had Cousins had that fumble open up the second half. Diggs had that fumble that really hurt us too. And Cousins was sacked 6 times, and that's just awful. You can't have your quarterback go down 6 times. When you have Khalil Mack rushing after you, Cousins just looked, he looked like Happy Feet back there. He wasn't comfortable. I saw a stat today. It was one of the PFF guys, Sam Morrison, tweeted it out. Cousins actually has the longest time to throw in the NFL in 2019. He has the most time to throw. I know some of that probably has to like deal with him getting outside the pocket and stuff like that, but he's getting more time than other quarterbacks, and other quarterbacks are making the throws. So it's extremely frustrating. Diggs was the only player with really worth anything on the stat sheet with 7 catches for 108 yards. But like I said, that fumble kind of negates that to an extent. It was just painful to watch on the offensive side of the ball. Could not get the rushing attack going, which we'd had throughout the first 3 games of the season. We ended with 40 total rushing yards. Dalvin Cook had 35 yards, and Alexander Madison, carried the ball twice and just had 5 yards. So it was just a really frustrating game on the offensive side of the ball. One kind of shiny bright spot, I guess it's not even really a bright spot, it was 4 catches for 35 yards, but rookie B.C. Johnson kind of started to get involved in this a little bit, which it was good to see. The guy that I thought was going to have a little bit of a better game, Irv Smith, only caught the ball once for 5 yards. But the most frustrating part about this is going back and watching the film. There's guys that are getting open. Diggs and Thielen, they're going up against some of the better corners in the league, one of the better secondaries in the league. And it's like Cousins is just, he's scared to get them the ball. I was listening to KFan this morning, and Matt Burke kind of had a quote, the old Vikings center. He just said he wants Kirk Cousins to go into New York this Sunday and throw 2 interceptions. I want to see Kirk Cousins go out there and actually just sling the ball. The guy's got a hell of an arm. He's got to go out there, and he just got to have some confidence. I know the B period guy on Twitter as well, he had one of the funniest tweets that I've seen in a while. It was literally saying that our quarterback is Smalls from The Sandlot. Like when he, and he quoted his mom where he's like, go outside, get dirty, get a little bloody, whatever, get in trouble. Not too much, but just get in a little bit of trouble. And that's exactly what Kirk Cousins is. We just need to go have him go out there and do what he does. He's a good quarterback. He's thinking too much. Exactly what they tell Smalls in The Sandlot. You're thinking too much. There's no thinking in baseball. Don't think so much in football. I know it's hard at the quarterback position, but come on, man. Like, he's got the skill sets. He's got the receivers. He's got the run game now. And he clearly, the stats that I saw today, he's got the time to throw. Make use of that and go out there and make this New York game something special, because he's got to turn around somewhere. And against the bottom half Giants secondary, I think this would be the right game to do it.
Just to speak to the frustration, and like you said, it sucks watching the game, and you know, it was a bad loss. I mean, the defense played, I think, very well. I mean, yes, if you give up 16 points, the Vikings should win that game. Even in the Green Bay game that we lost, I still thought, like, we should have won that game. Like, we only gave up 21 points. I know we gave them up quick, but we held them the rest of the game. Like, it was all... we just kept giving the offense chances. So going back and watching all of these Twitter breakdowns of, like, you see Stephon Diggs just running, you know, with no one around him, with his hand in the air, and Cousins is like, you know what I should do instead of throwing this this pass to a wide open Diggs? I'm gonna throw a check down to my boy CJ Ham. At one point, I was legitimately concerned that Cousins had some running back injuries or something, so he added CJ Ham to his depth chart in fantasy, and he was like, oh, well, I got to stout CJ Ham this week and put him in there. So he was like, well, I'll get him a couple catches, that way, you know, I don't get blown out. I don't know why he kept going back to the check down to CJ Ham, and I like CJ Ham. Stop throwing the ball to CJ Ham whenever we are in these, you know, big, tough situations, these tough games.
Especially when it's like 3rd and 10, 2nd and long, like, you got to find somebody downfield. They're getting open. Like, you can't check down to CJ Ham for a 2-yard gain. It's not going to do anything. I'd rather have you throw it 40 yards in the air and just, instead of punting it, just use that as your punt then. Have that get picked off. But
yeah,
it's just extremely frustrating. I mean, right away too, missing Thielen. That was a touchdown as well. It's hard to watch because those were throws that last year Cousins was making, especially early on in the season. We had that tough Rams game where he was slinging the ball around. We've seen him do it before. He's more than capable of doing it. I think he just kind of, it's like he reattach the training wheels on his bicycle, and he needs to just rip them off again and sling the ball down the field.
Well, and I think that that's well, and this is a very commonly used take. This is not something that no one said before, and it's something that I personally disagree with, but that's why people, I think, are calling for, like, well, why'd we get rid of Case Keenum? Because Case Keenum is not as good as Kirk Cousins on paper, even sometimes in play, but, I mean, Case Keenum, he would just chuck it sometimes. And Cousins said something in his press conference today before practice along the lines of just all the preparation that they do and all of the reads and blah, blah, blah. And I was just sitting there and I was like, you know who would never say something like this? You know who would never talk about how much preparation you have to do and how, you know, how much knowledge you have to have and how the thought process of blah, 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 blah. Brett Favre would never say something like that because he was just one of those guys that would go out there and let it rip and make big plays and, yes, throw some nasty interceptions. And that's what Case Keenum was. I mean, let's be honest. Case Keenum got lucky because he had two of the best wide receivers in football. They were consistently getting open, and he was saying YOLO and yeeting the ball 30 yards down the field to these guys, and they were making catches, and I think that's where the success came from. So it's funny because, you know, we ridicule Cousins for trying to make a YOLO pass week two against Green Bay, and then he doesn't make any YOLO passes week four, and we're all like, oh my God, he's terrible. It's tough, but I don't think it matters how he plays as long as we win. So we just have to find a way that we can win. And I don't know. I've seen a lot of people saying it, and I hope it's not true, but I'm starting to think it is. I think Cousins' issue at this point is he's in his own head, and I don't know the coaching strategy to get him out of his own head. So we'll see what happened. But on the other side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball, on a kind of bridal note, Eric Kendricks, highest graded PFF middle linebacker this season, better than Kuechly, better than Wagner. He has like a 90.5. I said it last week on the show. He's playing out of his mind, and I just love the guy. I mean, I said before he was my favorite Viking, and he's still one of my favorite guys, and it's nice to see him still making plays. The defense held Chicago to under 300 yards. I mean, the defense has been, for all but one quarter this season, like maybe one of the best defenses we've seen put on the field, maybe the best defense we've seen Mike Zimmer, you know, put together. The offense just can't get it together. So, Jack, do you have anything else? I mean, I kind of want to move on from this, so I'm done with the Chicago game.
Just kind of going off of that a little bit here. I mean, Danielle Hunter, I think he was on PFF's team of the week as well. He had a pretty solid day, even though he didn't end up with any sacks. So just kind of going off that, yeah, like the defense has looked really good. And if you go back to the 2018 season last year, it seemed as if like the defense kind of started slow and the offense came out of the gates just blazing, and then they flip-flopped. So I'm worried that could happen again, where the defense could flip-flop and they start doing worse and the offense starts to improve. We need this whole team to be on track at the same time, because if that can happen, it's going to be a very scary situation for whoever's playing the Vikings. And that,
go ahead. Oh, okay, well, I was just gonna say, on a note about the defense, one thing that I just saw today that I didn't really realize while I was watching the game, last week I said, you know, Mackenzie Alexander's gonna have six interceptions, kind of joking around, but he did come back, and he got benched you know, midway through the game for Mike Hughes. So watch out for Mac Alexander to get included in that trade deal with Stephon Diggs to the New England Patriots. Continue.
Yeah, that kind of wrapping that up. I mean, it just wasn't a sexy game by any means. We kind of knew that going into it. And going back, I know you kind of said you're talking about the YOLO ball for Kirk Cousins. Kind of going back on my point and what the Vikings old center Matt Burke had said this morning with Paul Allen. He basically said, yeah, the ball in Green Bay where he just kind of chucked it up in the air, I don't want to see that. And I really agreed with what he said. I want to see him have like just a tiny, tiny window where he winds up and he knows he might not be able to hit that window, but he just slings and he throws it so hard anyways, and he tries to get it there. And Matt Burke, the quote, he said, the defensive back, it might be picked off, but it might be thrown so hard that it might just bounce off his face mask. Like, just try to hit a tight window. He's got the arm. He's arguably has one of the better arms that we've seen, at least in our lifetime, other than Favre on this team. And I want the best for this guy. I was all for it. And just kind of going on another tangent, I know we do that quite often on the show, but I just want to make the argument made and known that when we signed Kirk Cousins, it was the right decision. Everyone was all for it. I mean, people are saying, like, case this, case that, like, Cousins, I don't want him anymore. Like, if your argument is now, hey, like, I'm ready to move on from Cousins, fine. But at the right time, it was the best option we had. We did the right thing. And if it doesn't work out, that's going to suck. I know we have a segment in the show where we're kind of going to talk about some future quarterbacks that we could potentially draft and even sit behind Cousins for a year or two and just kind of see where that goes. But yeah, let's put the Bears game in the past. We're going to see him again at the end of the regular season. Let's hope that game, we're still in playoff contention. Let's hope that matters. But
yeah, well,
kind
of game out of first place for both the division and the conference. So, I mean, the NFC is really tough. Like, I mean, everyone has to play that defense. I mean, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a tough year for everyone in the NFC because I think there's a lot of talent everywhere. But sorry, I didn't want to cut you off, but please continue.
No, and yeah, just kind of going off that, yes, we're 2-2. But we have, I mean, Detroit, they looked pretty legit against Kansas City, so that worries me a little bit. But we have them coming back to US Bank Stadium now, the Packers and Chicago. They're both coming back into our home field advantage now, so let's hope that can be in our favor. They're two hard teams to play. Divisional games are always weird, so we get them at home later on in the season, and I really like that. If you would have told me that we lost these two games, I wouldn't have been extremely surprised if you had pointed these two games out as losses that they lost right at the beginning of the season. So I know it's hard not to yet, but I'm not hitting the panic button still. We're 2-2. Like we've said, they started 2-2 the year. They went 13-3 and went on an 11-1 run. So let's just pump the brakes a little bit here and hope we can get some stuff figured out. Let's put the Bears game in the past and kind of start looking forward a little bit. The injury report came out, the Wednesday injury report, which always isn't the best one to go off, obviously, because there's still Thursday and Friday, so there'll be some stuff that changes here moving forward. But for the Vikings today, I'll do the Giants first, because the Vikings had some interesting stuff happen, I'm sure. If you've been on Twitter at all today, you've seen it. So let's just go over the Giants first. Star running back Saquon Barkley is still out, did not practice today. However, he's eyeing a week 6 return, I saw on Bleacher Report today, so likely he will not play against us. Linebacker Alec Ogletree did not practice, and starting guard Kevin Zeitler did not practice. Lorenzo Carter, outside linebacker, was limited today. Tay Davis has a concussion. He was limited. Wayne Gallman, Saquon's backup, was limited with a neck injury. And starting tackle Nate Solder was limited as well. So they're banged up on the offensive line a little bit. Their linebackers are banged up as well. So we're going to have to see how that goes on Sunday here. Let's hope we can take advantage of that with our pass rush and get after the rookie. But switching over to the Vikings side of the ball, Anthony Harris did not practice today. Josh Klein is still limited with his concussion. Kentrell Brothers was limited. Garrett Bradbury was limited. Mackenzie Alexander was limited. And then Rhodes and Jayron Kearse were both full participants today. And the one that everyone is kind of questioning right now, wide receiver Stephon Diggs, was not at practice today, and it was not injury-related. Very intriguing. Obviously, there's trade rumors about that. I'm still not bought into it, but when you see a guy not at practice, it makes you kind of scratch your head a little bit. Like I said, not overly worried yet. We haven't heard anything. There still could be some personal stuff going on. We don't know. Not going to speculate too much on that, but do you have anything to touch on based off the injury report?
Just one thing, with the dig stuff, which I think is, I'm assuming that's where we're going to go next. Like I started the show off saying, we are now the Mouthless Emoji Podcast. If you don't get that joke, what are you doing? Why are you listening to this podcast if you don't understand that reference? But, Stephon Diggs, last week, we all thought, okay, someone made up a dumb rumor that Stephon Diggs wants to be traded. And then this week he tweeted a mouthless emoji, and that's it. And then Mo Channel or Mo Chanel tweeted that he has a sales. He used to work for ESPN, like, as a producer. He said he has a sales that said the Vikings and Patriots had a deal basically done. They were just working out the cap space for each deal and deciding who they were going to cut to make roster spots and stuff like that. I have an update here. This is an update from Tom E. Curran. He's a writer for NBC Sports Boston. He says he has a source that says the Vikings have zero interest in trading Diggs. Diggs doesn't want to be traded. It's complete nothingness. I don't know what the fancy phrasing I'm looking for here is, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that it's an issue. But let's talk about it just in case he gets traded tomorrow, so that way we can sound smart. Jack, I liked your proposal for the Diggs trade. If you want to go ahead.
Yeah, I can kind of touch on this. I just want to be up front right away. I do not want Diggs traded. You having that update, that kind of made me feel better about it. I don't 100%. Want Diggs gone. I think he's the most talented receiver we have on our team. The separation this guy creates is absolutely insane. So I want him to be a receiver for the Vikings long term. Obviously, Minneapolis Miracle. He's an absolute hero to the state of Minnesota. So I just said, if it were to happen, I mean, could we get like a legitimate starting left tackle and it somehow incorporate getting Josh Gordon involved as well? Because if we were to some reason lose Diggs, I don't think it's going to happen, like I said. We would have no receivers. We'd have no depth chart behind Adam Thielen. And I think Stephon Diggs makes Adam Thielen a lot better receiver. And I just want to touch on this a little bit as well. Like, what, just kind of an open-ended question, what would the media do? Like, I would love to go back in time and see what the media did pre-social media. Because so many storylines are created just from players' social media. Stephon Diggs basically tweeted out just one emoji. He posted a picture of him and Adam Thielen in the end zone during a Vikings game saying brothers for life. And that means, hey, he hates everyone in Minnesota and he wants to get out of here. I have an inside source. He is gone. They're trading him. I don't buy into it. And it's really goofy to me.
I also don't buy into it. Although the more I think about like your trade idea, like if we could somehow get Josh Gordon and get a left tackle or replace Pat Elflein with someone, I really start to think about it, but I don't want to entertain it. I don't want Diggs to leave either, because like I said last week, he is the miracle man. He'll never have to buy a drink again in the state of Minnesota because of what he did for the state. So man, it's tough, but we now have one person who used to work at ESPN but doesn't anymore, who has tweeted such hot gems and hot, you know, he has sources who say, he said he has a guy who said Melvin Gordon would be a Philadelphia Eagle by week one of the season. Wrong. And then he has the dig stuff. He did report something that was accurate. I can't remember exactly what it was. But now those he's saying that like Michael Crabtree is going to the Pats, and I don't know what's going on. I really don't. But we have one person who's saying he has a guy who says that they are going to trade him, and then we have a guy who works for NBC that says no, there's no interest from anyone to trade him. I mean, I'm sure the Patriots have interest in trying to get Stephon Diggs because, you know, they need wide receiver help, but I don't think it's going to happen. I want to talk about quarterbacks. Because I have been watching college quarterback tape since Sunday night. How many quarterbacks did I say we were going to come up with? Did I say like two?
Yeah, I just have a quick list here, and I can kind of touch on some. You kind of wanted. You can touch on yours first because I don't want to ruin who yours is, and you can kind of go over your guy that you really like.
Theodore Bridgewater. No, not actually. although I did look into it. He is a free agent after this season, along with, I believe, Drew Brees and Taysom Hill. So just bring Drew Brees down and we'll do the butt valve thing all over again. And you know, Paul Allen can say, this isn't Detroit, man. This is a Super Bowl. But from a rookie perspective, I do think the Vikings should take a quarterback with their first pick this season. I will stand by that probably until the end of the year unless we win a Super Bowl. I like Cousins. I think Cousins should play all 16 games for us next season as well. if healthy, but I just think that he has shown that he's just not it. And I also like the idea of, if you look at the quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls, it's like Russell Wilson won his on a rookie contract. Nick Foles was a backup, and I'm pretty sure Carson Wentz was on his rookie contract. Like, it's all – it's, and then it's Tom Brady who takes pay cuts. So I think that it, the way that this team is going to find success is if we can free up a bunch of cap space getting a rookie. So with all that being said, allow me to introduce all the people to Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State. He is 6'4", 225, and he's mobile. His best pro comparison is Patrick Mahomes. Check out my Twitter at jhawthorne16, no E on Hawthorne. I tweeted out a video of him making this outrageous throw off his back foot and just threw a dime to this guy in the end zone. And you see a lot of that in his tape. Now, his talent is not without a setback. He makes a lot of those, like, he hikes the ball, and he is looking at a receiver, and he stares at that receiver, and then he throws the ball to him, and it gets picked off. So he would need a little bit of development, but I think the raw talent is there, that if he could sit a year behind Cousins, I think he could go and do good things. So that's my number one guy that I like coming out. Jack, you go ahead. You tackle one of your guys.
So, yeah, and I just have the whole list of kind of potential first through third round talent with quarterbacks, not the whole list, but good majority of them. And obviously, I think you can just cross two off the board. I think that's kind of the unanimous one right now. And I think the Dolphins are favored to get him. And then in a lot of mock drafts, the guy right after him, Justin Herbert out of Oregon, I believe he also, a lot of people have the Bengals taking him very early.
Yeah, so I think quarterbacks are going to go like 1 and 2 in this draft.
Yeah, and I mean, there is that, for a Vikings fan, you don't have to panic yet. If that's the area they're going to address in this upcoming draft, I think there's a lot of guys you can get, even if the Vikings have a 15th to, like you said, the 20th. Second pick. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully we end up with the 32nd pick.
Amen.
But there is a lot. There's a lot of quarterbacks that kind of are intriguing. Joe Burrow out of LSU is
one guy that.
Yes, and he's been playing very well. It's kind of a guy who's rising up on a lot of draft boards right now.
And I'm pretty pumped. He runs a pro-style offense against legitimate SEC defenses. Like, he's not playing scrubs.
And I just want to point this out to you. I'm not sure if you are aware yet. However, this weekend, Jordan Love and Utah State play LSU and Joe Burrow. So if you're a Vikings fan and that's kind of the area that you want the team to address, that's a game to keep your eyes on. There's two quarterbacks that could go fairly early in this draft class. And then there's a couple other ones, kind of my two. I'm sorry for just stealing your two. I'm kind of going down my list here. But
no, you're fine. Another
one that I've kind of had a soft spot for, because I think I've talked about on the show. I'm a huge fan of the show QB1, where they follow quarterbacks in high school and then they commit, and then I like following them through college, and Jake Fromm is one of those guys. He was on the first season at Georgia. He's played in some of the bigger games, and he's kind of one of those guys. He makes some mistakes, don't get me wrong, but I think he's the guy that would be exciting. He could come in, and I think he is a pro style quarterback as well. And then on kind of the opposite side,
he's renowned for his leadership, which I really like. I mean, I think he could come in and he could take command of the locker room, you know, after his rookie season. And I think, you know, you could slap a C on his chest. And I like Jake Fromm as well. Those like six quarterbacks in this draft class that if the Vikings draft, I'd be like, all right, yeah, I'm down with it. So
yeah, and then going off of that, kind of to the opposite end of the spectrum. Jalen Hurts is having himself a heyday through the first couple weeks of the college football year. He's obviously, if you don't know who he is, he was at Alabama and Tua kind of took over, showed a lot of class when he was sitting behind Tua, when Tua kind of did eventually take over. But he went to Oklahoma and he is tearing it up in Oklahoma right now. He can run the football and he's been kind of bashed for his arm, but he's making some pretty damn solid throws for Oklahoma, and my God, if he wins the Heisman, that would be absolutely insane. Three Oklahoma,
straight.
Yep, that would be crazy.
Stupid.
And then one last guy I want to touch on, not going to be eligible until the following year, but another guy that I just have been watching, and this is no bias to it because I do not like Ohio State. I love my Gophers, love my Gophers. But as you know, they haven't been the greatest in my 24 years here on Earth. So I've kind of, one of my family members has been a Michigan fan. He pulled me into that, and Michigan has kind of obviously started to struggle as of late as well. But when I was younger, they were a little bit more fun to watch. But kind of my reason why I don't like Ohio State. But Justin Fields, another guy from QB1, the show, super, super fun to watch. He's got a good arm. He can run the ball as well. And I think if the Vikings need to go a different direction, I think we're seeing so much success with quarterbacks that are can scramble, get out, and they can run for 10, 15 yards, but they can also sling the ball on the field. So that's just another guy to keep your eyes on. Like I said, he won't be for another another 2 years here now, but another guy to watch if you're a Vikings fan.
Yeah, I like Fields. The reason that I want us to take one this season, which is why, like, obviously I don't think the Vikings are going to be so bad that we can get Trevor Lawrence, you know, in 2 years, but
that's good. Yeah, that's kind of why I just took his name off. I figured that's kind of the case, but
it's not gonna happen, even though he's struggled against North Carolina, but that's neither here nor there. I think looking at the I would like for the quarterback to come in, sit an entire season, and then play. Patrick Mahomes did it, and I know that, like, I've said his name twice now, and I don't expect us to get Patrick Mahomes out of this draft. But I do like the idea of letting him loan behind Cousins, hopefully not, you know, pick up too many of Cousins' bad tendencies, but then moving on. One guy who you didn't say, who I didn't really expect you to, Jake Fromm, the guy who he beat out for his job. Actually, I think Fromm took over for injury. Jacob Eason out of Washington. He was at Georgia. He played his freshman year. He got hurt. Jake Fromm took over. Jake Fromm never looked back. Eason transferred to Washington, and this is his first season playing now. He's really big. He's almost like Big Ben, I would say, is his pro comp. He's a really big guy. He's like 6'4", 6'5", kind of heavy set, but he's still mobile, even though he's kind of heavier, so I like him as well. If I had to rank the options for quarterbacks, it would go for me this season. Jordan Love, Justin Herbert, if we could get him, because I have seen him kind of falling in some drafts. I would put Eason probably at three, and then I would put Fromm at four, just because I feel like we need a guy who can move a little bit. Which, I mean, Fromm's not a bad athlete, but, you know, he's not, like, you know, going to blow anybody out of the water. And I feel like we need a guy with some mobility who has shown off that mobility in college, because we don't have the best offensive line, and I don't expect our offensive line to just be elite next season from out of nowhere, or even in the next 2 years. So we'll see what happens, but there you go. You do with this information what you will.
And just kind of to touch on that one, like, so I'm guessing you have Tua as kind of the one. You left him off that, I'm guessing.
Yeah, if Tua somehow fell to us and we got him, I'd be ecstatic. I wanted Tua from the second he made that throw against Georgia in the national championship game. I said that kid's going to be special. Just the way he looked off the safety and then threw a dime down the field. I really like Tua. I'm actually in the minority. I don't know if the Dolphins are going to take a QB. I think Josh Rosen might be their guy. Why would they trade for him if they weren't going to, like, use him? I think they might stick with Rosen, and then the Bengals are going to get Tua. And I know a lot of Bengals fans who would be ecstatic if that was the case. But I don't think Tua's fallen down into the teens or into the 20s, or God help us if we make it to the 30s.
Yeah, and I agree with that completely. And just kind of going off what you said, someone who's mobile, just keep your eye on Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. I know he's playing Big 12 defenses, which isn't always great, but we're seeing Kyler Murray come in and start right away. Baker is having some success. He just beat Baltimore, which I don't think a lot of people saw coming. So just keep your eyes on him. He's very mobile, and if his arm continues to get better, he's just someone to keep an eye on.
I don't like Jalen just because I'm afraid that, like, he's not the best passer, and he's playing, you know, Big 12 defenses and all of the knocks that you can give to the guy. But I think that about wraps it up with me and the quarterback talk. So Jack, let's take a quick break. Let's let an ad or two run, and then we'll come back and we'll start talking about the G-men. Sound good?
Yep. Perfect.
All right.
name is Michael Pallas, and I am the host of the Jet Up Bleeding Green podcast here on the Big Heads Media Network. You can also find me anywhere. You can download iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere you can find me. I am there. I will bring you my opinions on the latest Jets news and information every week here on the Jet Up Bleeding Green podcast.
All right, so we are back now. These aren't the smoothest transitions in and out of ads. I'm aware of that. I'm working on getting some music to kind of fade us in and out of them, but it's all a work in progress. So yeah, you know, we talked about quarterbacks before the break. Now let's talk about the now. Let's talk about what's happening this week. We are taking a trip to New Jersey to play the New York Giants. I've never understood that, but okay. I really have a Buffalo feeling about this game, and I don't know if it's because of the mobile, the fast quarterback who might, you know, jump over Anthony Bowe or what it is, but I'm getting Buffalo vibes. I'm getting, like, we're going to be 2-3 and we're going to lose. Jack, what's your opinion on this game? What are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I can completely see why someone would be scared of that happening. I don't have a great feeling about this game. I wrote an article this week about how the Vikings can't afford to lose this game. They really can't. You hate to say it so early on in the year, but after losing two games in the division, you can't go even though it's an away game, you can't go out there and beat a team that you're better, or lose to a team, I'm sorry, that you're better than. Before we dive into this a little bit, I just kind of wanted to touch on, too, why we're doing the ads. We are now officially a part of the Big Heads Podcast Network, so check them out. They have a ton of podcasts on there as well, sports, food, TV, music, all that fun stuff. So that's kind of why the ad break came there. I know it's new to people that have been listening here for quite some time. But, yeah, the Giants game, it's something to be – I'm excited for. It's football. My twins have two playoff games in New York, Friday and Saturday. So a whole bunch of Minnesota stuff going on over in New York. But I think Kirk Cousins is going to prove some people wrong this game. And I really hope I'm right. And if I'm not, you guys can all just bash me for it, because I'm wrong a lot. I get that. But I think you just got to let Kirk Cousins go out there and let him loose. Like I said earlier, just let him throw the ball. We let him throw the ball towards the end of the Chicago game, kind of opened up stuff in the shotgun, and he found some success. I know it's kind of garbage time, but he was throwing the ball better. I know we missed a couple of it here and there, but I just want to see him go out there. He's played in New York, obviously, before. He used to be a divisional rival when he was in Washington. And I think Delvin's going to get the run game going a little bit. Their linebackers are banged up here and there as well. So I really want to see Kirk Cousins. I know that quote that I said about the Sandlot earlier. I just want him to go out there and stop thinking so much. Stop being the nice guy that you are. Stop apologizing for overthrowing your receivers like he did on his podcast this week. Go out there with a little bit of fire. I want to see the "you like that" Kirk Cousins back. I want to see him come out there, get fired up, and sling the ball around, and just stop thinking. You have so much talent around you. Just go out and use it.
Yeah, I saw a tweet today that was like, the Vikings fans are all so, you know, we're scouting Cousins, and we're being so mean to him, and blah, blah, blah. He's going to make us eat crow whenever he sets the league on fire these last, you know, 12 games. And everyone that replied to the tweet was like, yeah, if he does that, awesome. Like, it's a win-win situation. Because either I'm going to get to come on here every week and say, I was right, ha, 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 Cousins is bad. Oh, my team is going to win. I completely disagree with you, though. I don't think Cousins is going to get the chance to throw the ball. Because I know that I said I'm getting Buffalo vibes. But as you'll see in my gambler's guide that comes out tomorrow, I like the matchups in this game for the Vikings running game. Like, the Giants defense has been bad. It hasn't been good at all. You can say that. Danny Dimes has caught some people off guard, but I don't think Zimmer's defense will let him do that. And I legitimately think this is going to be like, I think the score that I picked was like 31-9. Because I think we're just going to run the ball down their throats, control the clock. And I don't think Cousins is going to throw many passes, not enough to, prove people wrong. And I don't think Zimmo's the type of coach that is going to green light the idea of, hey, we're going to throw the ball because we want, you know, fans to be confident in Cousins. I think Zimmo wants to go to New York, get a win running the ball and playing defense, and then come home and practice for a week and get ready to play the Lions. So I completely disagree with you on that, although I would love to see Cousins come out and throw for 800 yards and you know, 17 touchdowns, you know, connect with Diggs or Josh Gordon, you know, whoever we have at that point, and just see what happens. But, yeah, that's just me. I would like to see us – I don't care what the – I don't care if we're up 17-0. I would like to see us take a play-action shot at some point in this game. Like, and I'm not talking like 20 yards down the field. I'm talking like a bomb, like a 75-yard bomb to Diggs. Just because I want to see Cousins make that throw. I want to see him, like you said, take the training wheels off a little bit, because for some reason he's this far into his career and it feels like he put those training wheels back on. What are some other thoughts of yours? And then we'll kind of talk about game balls from last week and that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. And I really hope that they can get their ground game going, 'cause I think we've said it the entire time that should help Kirk Cousins. He hasn't really had to do much in the games where we've had the run game going. Obviously the Green Bay game, that weird interception he threw, that's the exception. But the Giants have allowed 389.2 yards per game, ranking 25th in the NFL, and 279.5 of those games or of those yards are coming through the air, which is also 25th. Their rushing defense still hasn't been great. They're allowing 109.8, which is 19th in the NFL, which is still in the bottom tier. However, I just have a feeling for Kirk. I don't know what it is, but I just hope all the best for him. I want
we've said on the show
that we absolutely like, we love Kirk Cousins, the guy. Like, I just want to see that guy change into somebody who's going to come out and swing at the opponent. Like, just throw a punch, like, not actually throw a punch, but come out, punch him in the mouth, and just throw the football downfield. Because I'm getting frustrated right now talking about it. We've seen him do it before. We need to see him do it again. He's got to get this stuff out of his head. Switching over to the defensive side of the ball for the Vikings, obviously rookie quarterback Daniel Jones has come in, and he's got his team back to .500. They're 2-2 as well. They started 0-2 with Eli Manning. This is going to be one of the first times, or the first time, I believe, that we're playing the Giants since like 2005 that we're not going to see Eli Manning, which is really weird. The Vikings have, yeah, I mean, it is sad too, because I feel like when we've played them, at least in the last two times we've played him, I think it was 2016 and 2015, we've kind of had our way with Eli Manning. I know Harrison Smith off him. It always seemed like, even going back a little bit, like back in the, we were pretty young back then, but like when like Darren Sharper, I remember he would have pick sixes on Eli Manning. Not really the greatest name to bring up. However, it kind of scares me. They have this fire coming in. He's turned the season around so far, obviously. They played the Bucs and the Redskins, and the Buccaneers just went out and weirdly beat the Rams, which no one saw coming. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be a fairly decent game, but Daniel Jones has thrown 3 touchdowns and 578 yards with a 69% completion percentage and an 80.1 QBR. He's also thrown 2 interceptions and 2 fumbles. I think this is a guy where we're going to have to go out and just get some pressure on him early. He can use his legs a little bit as well. He has 2 rushing touchdowns on the season. So make sure we can stop him with his legs. It's similar to what we kind of said with Trubisky. Don't let him run. Make him uncomfortable in the pocket and let our D-backs do what they do and get their hands in the ball. I think he's going to turn the ball over a couple times this game. And hopefully we're not going to have it negated by a penalty downfield where we start the first drive and get a scoop and almost score, and then Anthony Harris has a pass interference. But I think we're going to have to force him to make some rookie mistakes, and I think that's exactly what he's going to do.
I think if we can, like I said, I think we're going to establish the run in this game. If we can get up, you know, 2 possessions, then, you know, the edge rushers can pin their ears back and they can get home. And Everson Griffin's having a tremendous year, even though the sacks aren't necessarily there. I mean, they're there, but he's not blowing anyone out of the water. He's not getting a lot of national attention. And Danielle Hunter is right there with him. They're getting a ton of pressures. They're beating their guys and trying to get home. And I think teams are making it a point that when you play the Vikings, you have to throw the ball quickly. So Let's talk about game balls. Let's do Sunday's game ball today. Looking back to last week, to be honest with you, Jack, I picked Xavier Rhodes for my game ball. He's not getting a game ball. If we have to give out game balls, I would go with Brian O'Neill on the offense because whoop-de-doo, he still hasn't allowed a sack in his NFL career, which is pretty impressive. And then on the other side of the ball, I would go with Eric Kendricks just because of the continued, really good play out of him. Do you have any disagreements there or anything you'd like to add?
I think it's pretty cut and dry. I don't think
you said we shouldn't
even
hand out a game ball. And just, I did it just out of tradition, but like I don't feel good about it. But looking ahead, I have the offense this week. You have the defense. You can kick us off if you'd like to. Go ahead and talk about that.
It's straightforward pick for me. I think we're going to have an interception or two in this game. I do think we're going to pick him off, but I think it's going to be because of our front four. I think Danielle Hunter is going to have himself a game. He's actually going up against, get this, old Vikings faithful Mike Remmers is the right tackle for the Giants. I think he is going to abuse Mike Remmers. I think he's going to get after the rookie, and I think he's going to maybe get a sack or two, but I think he's going to force some pressures. I think it's going to create a turnover downfield.
I like that pick a lot. I'm going to go with on the offensive side of the ball, and I say it every week. I'm like, I don't really want to pick Dalvin Cook in the offensive line, but damn it, Jack, I like being right, and I'm going with Dalvin Cook in the offensive line because if there's ever a week that we should just put the ball in someone else's hands other than Cousins, it should be this week after that game. Just let him run the ball, and as much as I would love to see Cousins throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns and you know, do all of that stuff, and I'd love to say it's going to be Diggs or Thielen, I'm going with Dalvin Cook. No, I'm just going to go with the offensive line. I'm not even going to go with Cook because I think Madison will probably have like 50 rushing yards in this game. I just think that, you know, it's going to be a typical Vikings game where we play a bad team, we run the ball down their throats, and I think that's going to be the formula all season, is play a bad team, run it down their throats, play a good team, we all get mad at Cousins. And I think the show is going to show that in the way, the energies that we bring, in the way that we talk about things. So I'm going with the offensive line. I'm going to say Cousins gets sacked none times, and Dalvin Cook / Alexander Madison, all of the running backs, I'm going to say we have like 170 yards rushing on the day with three rushing touchdowns. Three touchdowns for the guys. So there you go. There's my game ball. So now that we have that out of the way, some key matchups. You mentioned one, Danielle Hunter and Mike Remmers. Mike Remmers, actually, I thought he was a solid right tackle. He just wasn't good whenever we bumped him inside. And I remember saying, like, let's put Remmers back outside and switch O'Neill over to the left tackle because O'Neill looked really good. So I don't know if that's as much of, like, a mismatch as him going up against a backup, but I still think Danielle has the edge. Also, a big-time matchup that I'm looking forward to, Trey Waynes, Golden Tate, the battle. And I'm ready for it because Golden Tate tweeted today that, you know, something about a go out and how he loves running go outs and how fast he is and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, let's put Waynes on him and try and run the go out and watch Trey Waynes break it up. So that's a matchup I'm looking forward to as long as just the whole secondary / defense against Danny Dimes. So, I like Peter Schrager came up with the nickname for him of Steely Dan, which is like this funny band that these comedians that I really like, John Mulaney and Nick Cole, they make a bunch of Steely Dan jokes. So I'm in on calling him Steely Dan. So Steely Dan versus Mike Zimmo in the Battle of the Titans. Jack, matchups you're looking forward to.
Yeah, you actually just stole one right out of my mouth. I had just circled Golden Tate, making sure that everyone's aware he is back. Yeah. For the first time, he was suspended for the first four games, and it's not a name that Vikings fans probably. Yeah, I'm gonna say it's not a name that Vikings fans are gonna be excited to hear because he's kind of kicked us where it hurts, cut our jugulars a couple times when he was with Detroit. So I remember when he had that really long one. I think it was in overtime when we were at home. I believe that was the Sam Bradford year, and it was kind of the icing on the cake, saying, "Hey, we started 5-0, but look where we're here. We're at 8-8 now, whatever. Frustrating year, but we can get past that." Another name, obviously, Saquon Barkley. is out. Wayne Gallman is on the injury report, but last week he kind of had himself a day. He had 63 rushing yards and a touchdown. He had 6 catches for 55 yards in the air and a touchdown as well. I think it's going to be kind of a pretty decent matchup, like you said, our secondary against Jones and his receiving corps. They have Evan Engram, who's a very solid tight end as well, so we'll see how we match up on him if they do bring Jayron Kearse out to match up on him, or if they just trust the safeties up top. Anthony Harris was out today, like I said earlier, so hopefully that isn't anything too crazy, but I think Jayron Kearse can come in and fill that role as well, and then we have Hughes back as well, which is going to be extremely helpful with this team. But then you have Sterling Shepard as well with on the other side of Golden Tate, and they're kind of a sneaky, like, decent receiving corps now. They're a little bit more of the not necessarily going to go up, beat you over the top with their height, but they're just shiftier guys. I mean, Evan Engram, their tight end, obviously can go do that. But Rhett Ellison, former Viking, had 3 catches for 24 yards as well last week against them. So, I don't know. I'm excited to see how the defense handles the rookie as well. I think it's something we're going to have to turn the ball or get him to turn over the ball. We said how crucial it was last week with Cousins having the fumble problem. We need to create turnovers ourselves. We played a backup last week. We're playing a rookie this week. You got to take advantage of that. We couldn't last week. We have to do that this week. So I'm just really curious to see how we get pressure on him. Last week was weird. We weren't bringing a lot of pressure. It was a lot of just 4-man rushes. I want to see a couple blitz packages and just make him uncomfortable, get him on the ground early, make him not want to play football anymore. So, and then switching over to the offensive side of the ball, I agree with you. I do think Delvin is going to have himself a pretty solid day. But I think in a game like this, even if we're up 2 scores, I think that's like the perfect time to do so. I think you have to let Kirk Cousins air it out a couple times. Let him take a couple deep shots, whether that's play action or just straight from the shotgun. He's had some time, obviously, to throw the ball. Let him throw the ball. Let him get, like we said, the training wheels off the bike. And let's see Cousins go sling it against a former divisional rival of his.
Yeah, I would. Like I said, I really don't care how this game plays out as long as we get the win. We have a tough road schedule. We have to play Kansas City in Kansas City and the Cowboys in Dallas. Like, it's not a cakewalk for us this season.
But, and in Seattle as well.
Yes, thank you. In Seattle. So, I mean, this is one of those road games where it's like, okay, so let's just say that we somehow win every home game, which isn't an easy thing to do, but if we win all 8 home games, well, now we have to start tacking on away games, and we don't have – I mean, we've already lost 2 of them. We have Detroit. We have this game. We have the 3 that I just mentioned, and there's one other one that I can't think – no, we don't play – we play Washington at home. I think we play in Philly. Oh, is that a home game?
Philly's home, I believe.
Okay. Well, then I don't know who the other away game is, but we have to beat some teams on the road, and I'm just hoping that the Vikings aren't looking ahead to that Philly game this week. Take the Giants serious and you know, go in there and beat them. One quick thing that I will say before, you know, we kind of plug the Twitter handles and Jack says skull. I really liked Josh Allen, the quarterback of the Bills. Someone asked him about, like, how, you know, one of the New York teams almost took him, and he said, "We are the only New York team," because Buffalo is the only football team that plays in New York 8 times a year. The other 2 play in New Jersey. So that's just kind of a stupid little thing that made me giggle earlier in the season. So, Jack, anything else from you?
Like you said, or like you always say, follow us on Twitter at LTB Vikings. My Twitter handle is at Jack_H_day. You can plug yours really quick as well. I think you did once already, but you might as well do it again.
I'll plug it a million times. At J Hawthorne 16, no E on Hawthorne, J Hawthorne 16. And then other than that, listen to these amazing shows, you know, on the Big Heads podcast network. Super excited to be a part of that. I'm glad that you said that, because it just completely slipped my mind. But we are super happy about, you know, being a part of that group. They have, you know, they cover all but one NFL team. I still do not know who the one team they don't cover is. I'm trying to figure it out. But yeah, it's a fun time. It's a big step for us, and I know that we're excited. Let's see. I think we covered everything, Jack. Are we good?
Yep. Skol, as always.
There it is. You got barbecue back there?
breath on an enemy. No room for negative energy.
You know, I always love when guys talk smack after making one play, but
eventually,